The Pandemics and Public Emergencies Committee will come to order. DJ, please call the roll.
Chair Leak.
Here.
Vice Chair Payne.
Here.
Ranking Member Costello.
Here.
Representatives Bell.
Here.
Byrd.
Here.
Clemens.
Here.
Driscoll. Driscoll. Gilombardo.
Here.
Goff Marcil.
Here.
Jenny.
Here.
Mariano.
Here.
McFarland.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Snyder.
Here.
Thompson. Here. Tribulsi.
Here.
Williamson.
Here.
Zika.
Present.
Quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, and I guess good evening, members. I want to thank you for coming to this special Pandemics and Public Emergencies Committee meeting. At our last meeting, we began discussing how Florida might best anticipate and prepare for the major risk facing our state. Regrettably, even as we were meeting, a potentially disastrous situation was developing at the Piney Point facility. On April the 3rd, Governor DeSantis issued a state of emergency for Manatee, Hillsborough, and Pinellas counties due to a possible breach at the South Reservoir at the Piney Point facility and threat of an environmental emergency. The governor has directed the Florida Department of Environmental Protection and the Division of Emergency Management to coordinate resources both in Tallahassee and at the site to ensure proper response and mitigation of risks. Today, DEP Secretary Noah Valenstein is here with us via WebEx to provide an update on the state's response to this emergency. I would also like to recognize joining us today, Representative, I believe Diamond is going to be here if he's not here now, and Representative Robinson, as well as Representatives Overdorf and Gregory. Thank you for joining us. Also in the audience is Manatee County Interim County Administrator Dr. Scott Hopes. At this point, members, we'll jump right in and hear from DEP Secretary Noah Valenstein, so please give your attention to the screens. Secretary Valenstein, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, and thank you also to Manatee County and the administrator. We still right now are at the Emergency Operations Center for Manatee County and appreciate both their assistance and leadership in this event and also their hospitality to us. I'll start just with a brief recap handed out to the committee are also some aerials that I will discuss later. So on March 26th, the responsible party, HRK, notified the Department of an increase in conductivity and water volume collecting in its on-site collection system, indicating a possible leak in the system. Then on March 29th, HRK submitted a pollution notification notice of processed water bypassing the wastewater management system at the Piney Point facility going towards Piney Point Creek. That same day, the department issued emergency order directing HRK to take controlled releases to avoid uncontrolled releases and any catastrophic impact to the system. Those controlled releases began to the Port of Manatee, and uncontrolled releases were shortly ceased. Today, I'm happy to say that as a result of ongoing Herculean effort on the part of DEP, DEM, the county, and other state and federal partners, we're in a significantly better place today. We appreciate Governor DeSantis declaring a local state of emergency, which allowed us to act quickly and ensured access to resources for response and recovery. Right now, the department is working to repair the one identified area where there is concentrated seepage from the east wall of the NGS South Stack. We have divers with submersible rovers on site right now, working for further identification of any possible leak to then give us guidance on the repair. We also, just this afternoon, reduced controlled discharges from the site due to increased stability. Those discharges have been reduced by about 10% going to the Port of Manatee. Over the next 24 hours, we'll continue to work on potential repair for any identified leak, as well as further reductions of water going to Port Manatee, and importantly, setting up treatment of any further controlled reduction to Port Manatee. Currently, to date, we are looking at about 202 million gallons that have left that south stack, with 173 of those going to the port, the rest remaining on site. As our incident response set up that same day, we were noticed of a potential leak. The department also immediately set up intense monitoring in the area for nearby freshwater bodies, as well as Tampa Bay. That allowed us to have a very detailed baseline of water quality in the area and conditions to ensure that we can hold HRK fully accountable for any impact to our resources and that we can catch even very detailed impacts to our resources. Those efforts continue on a daily basis, 7 days a week. We've also set up on protectingfloridatogether.gov, a website specific to this incident that shows our monitoring so that the public can see the monitoring reports and water quality samples as those are posted. Some of the constituents, such as salinity, turbidity, pH, are posted immediately from the field. Others take processing time from the lab and follow a few days afterwards. We really appreciate the cooperation and support of both Manatee County, Hillsborough County, Pinellas Counties, and the Tampa Bay Estuary Program as part of that monitoring and sampling effort, as well as the Port of Manatee. Our latest samples, and again, the water within the southern compartment that is the focus of this incident, is a mixture mainly of seawater from a prior dredging project that was put into this compartment, as well as some legacy process water from the plant, as well as rainwater. The main focus for impacts to the environment were increased nutrients, various forms of nitrogen and phosphorus, as well as slightly lower pH. Other than that, the parameters were meeting water quality standards for the point of discharge into Port of Manatee. The latest samples that we've had processed show increased nutrients in the discharge ditch, where the point of discharge from the southern stack then leads into the Port of Manatee, as well as increased nutrients in the actual port itself. But as of yet, the samples that have been processed have not shown any nutrients crossing the water quality standards actually out into the open water. Though again, that's why we have set up monitoring points there and continue to track that. All that information will be posted as it's processed on that website so that all can see. The most important part of that, in addition again to keeping the public informed, is making sure that we hold HRK accountable for all impacts to the environment, as well as all processes that we've set up to clean water, all costs that we've had as part of this event, both for public health and safety and the environment. And the department has also, in addition to its science team and engineering team that it stood up for this event to take swift action, has also set up a legal team to make sure that at the same time we're beginning to prep for full enforcement on this event against the responsible party. I'll mention this site, as many in the area know, has had a long history in Florida. In 2001, it was left by Mulberry Corporation, who abandoned the site. And then since then, there has been a cycle of state money going into the site to do partial treatment, and then private corporations taking it over. I'll mention it's the department's intention, and we appreciate the support of the county, as well as the legislature's interest in making sure this is the last chapter in that long cycle of stories with Piney Point. We at the department are already, as part of this response, working on plans as to how to fully close this site so that there can be no more future story of this cycle of slight state investment, but not full closure, and then a new company taking over. With that, we thank you for the support from the legislature and interest in this. I have to really thank my staff, who's been working 24/7 from the initial incident. We have upwards of about 50 staff activated in the area who've been working around the clock. The first course of business, and as the county was there with us side by side, was public health and safety to make sure that we could prevent significant flooding that would have impacted public health and safety. Of course, protecting water quality and the environment is very close behind that. And we've been working to make sure that the discharge point was in a controlled fashion to avoid areas like Cockroach Bay, which is an outstanding Florida water body, or Bishop's Harbor, which is where in the prior chapters of this story, unfortunately, waters had been initially discharged. We look forward again to holding the party accountable for this event, and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Secretary. Members, we're going to move into questions now. You know, I'll start. Secretary, you've talked about enforcement and, you know, holding someone fully accountable. Give us the idea of what that looks like.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the first part is setting up a monitoring network. The unfortunate, I guess, events like this, the fact that we got our staff out there on the very first day and were able to actually set up a monitoring network before there were any intentional discharges necessary and water leaving the site meant that we were able to get a very rigorous background sampling of the area that could have been impacted by this spill. That allows us to have very good evidence moving forward and natural resource damage assessments and penalties for that. Certainly, we have not been sparing effort to protect public health and safety and the environment. We have innovative techs that should be up and running tomorrow to start processing and actually treating any intentional discharge to the Port of Manatee, which is the next step that we're really excited about, in addition to ratcheting down discharges to the Port of Manatee. All those costs, along with the Herculean effort of DEM, the county, and others, we want to make sure that we hold the responsible party fully accountable for that. And so we're making very sure that as our legal team, or as our engineering and response and emergency management team is working, that our legal team is working alongside them to take note of that and prepare an enforcement action.
Thank you, Secretary. And if I could, you got to my second question, which was remediation, but I'm not sure I still understand, or I still don't understand what full enforcement means. You know, what are the tools that you have available to you, or that does the state have available to it to hold a party like HRK fully accountable and fully enforce the law?
So we have the tools to be able to take account all expense and costs spent on the event by the state. We also have the tools to monitor impact to water quality and constituents discharged outside of the permitted facility. Again, we will add up all of those costs and look for every legal avenue for impacts to Florida. So between our environmental standards and laws that allow us to have enforcement action, any violations associated due to the breach, again, that will come from further investigation as to what has led to this, as well as all those, any impacts into the environment.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. And just for my final question here before I open it up to the other committee members, is it too soon to have an idea of what complete remediation looks like? So we're not having to come back and deal with Piney Point or any other area like that. Do you have an idea of what it takes to make sure that this is not a problem a year from now or 10 years from now?
Sure, I will give you a general overview. And I think, again, for those familiar with sort of the decades-long story of this site, where there had been an initial investment of the state to maybe close one pond or begin closing one portion of the site, in order to avoid any future chapters of this story, we need to close all the retention ponds on the site. That means making sure we process the water safely, eliminate that stored water from the site, and then regrade and cap the site so that there's not future water being stored there. Initially, again, our efforts right now still are on public health and safety, on eliminating that controlled discharge to the port, on treating the controlled discharge to the port, eliminating the controlled discharge to the port, and then we'll have to develop a long-term plan for moving and treating the remaining water on the site and then closing the site. I again emphasize, I think looking back in history, the idea of, for instance, and it is the NGS South pond that we're looking at again, that was that mixture of dredged seawater as well as legacy process water and rainwater. I think maybe in the past, the intention would have been close this one pond and leave it at that. I think the department feels very strongly that all storage ponds on the site need to be closed. The water needs to be processed safely and then moving forward.
Thank you, Secretary. And before you get too far here, I do want to make a point of saying I appreciate how quickly the DEP and the governor jumped on this. And it's because of your efforts that we're going to be able to put together the evidence we need to hold HRK fully accountable for what's happening. So I don't want to get too far without thanking you for jumping on this immediately. And with that, Representative Snyder for a question. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to echo those statements, Secretary, hats off to you and your team for the rapid response there. Just two quick questions as we're looking at this body of water. Do you have a number on the parts per billion on the water toxicity from a nitrates and phosphates perspective on really what we're dealing with? And then the follow-up to that is, you know, is there an estimation on total gallons of, you know, of water being retained that we ultimately need to remediate? Thank you.
Thank you for the questions. I'll start with, once we get through this initial event, there's various water held on the site. Some of that's just storm water on the site. Other is other legacy process water, and it's a mixture of the two. And so between that, there are about 650 million gallons in other areas on the site. Again, about 173 million gallons to date have gone out to the port in an intentional discharge. That's what is now ramping down as of this afternoon, as well as working on now setting up treatment. And I'm sorry, Representative, do you mind repeating the other portion of the question?
You're recognized.
Yes, sir. Just curious if we have any data on the water toxicity at a parts per billion level.
You're recognized.
Sure. And again, I encourage everyone, thanks to the legislature over the past 2 years and the governor's leadership, you know, we have transformed how we handle data within the agency. And so you can go to protectingflorida.gov and actually see the raw data coming out of our lab. Again, some of that is instantaneously posted from the sample site the second it's taken. Others have to be processed by our lab and populate as soon as that's done, usually within a few days after that. And so to give you an idea, again, phosphorus and forms of nitrogen were the concerns. In that southern stack, you were looking at phosphorus around 160 milligrams per liter, as well as nitrogen or various forms of nitrogen, upwards of 250 milligrams per liter. At the point of discharge, as I mentioned, the point of discharge goes out through a ditch, which then eventually leads to the port. And so sort of going closest from the point of discharge into that port basin right now, the last sampling we have is at the point of discharge into the ditch, you have phosphorus at about 130 milligrams per liter and ammonia nitrogen, form nitrogen, about 190. Further down in that ditch, you then see phosphorus drop to 53, nitrogen down to 88. By the time you hit the basin in the port, you're at 0.96 milligrams per liter of nitrogen or ammonia nitrogen, and phosphorus is at 0.79 milligrams per liter by that point. That's the latest samples that we have processed. Again, you can find all of that mapped out. And one of the handouts you have is a map of our sampling locations. We have 25 set up right now, but those will be increasing and reacting to where we see, depending on how much water is discharged and where we see that water traveling.
Thank you, Secretary. We'll next move to Ranking Member Costello.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Secretary, for this report. Puts mine at a little bit at ease of averting what could have been a real catastrophe. So thank you for that. Just two quick questions, if I may, Chair, is who's directly overseeing and inspecting gypsum stacks in the state of Florida?
You recognize?
So we have a team for mining within the agency that oversees and permits, and we also within that schedule within for Florida statutes, you have requirements for third-party engineers too for the responsible parties.
I may and would you say that this commission here could help oversee FASO gypsum stacks in the future?
You're recognized.
I guess I'd ask for a point of clarity, the commission meeting that your committee?
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, you're recognized. Thank you.
Thank you. Certainly, I think the legislature anytime, whether it's an algal bloom, whether it is a violation, an event like this by a responsible party such as HRK, we always need to take a step back and say, is there anything we can do to protect our environment? In this instance, I think we need to, again, Piney Point is a legacy site. You know, it's the only gypsum stack we have in Florida that was in closure and not actually operated by an active mining company. And so this is a problematic legacy site with a long history. But I think questions such as, do we have the right engineering standards? Does the, what lessons will we learn from the liner? Does its specs actually live up to what it's advertised in the state of Florida? Do we need to look at that? But certainly I think the more we learn from this, we should always look for opportunities to make sure we're protecting the environment fully.
Thank you. We'll next move to Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Secretary Valenstein, for taking the time to address this important issue with us. I guess my question is really based on the engagement and the communication that DEP and the state have had with HRK. Could you help explain, because I'm trying to understand the nature of the beginning of our agreement, if you will, with HRK Holdings in 2006, the administrative agreement, that is. Did this agreement with HRK, did it provide a deadline for them to fully remediate or clean up the site and close the gypsum stacks?
You're recognized.
Thank you. I believe the agreement provided a goal, a timeline goal for them to come up with closure plans, but that obviously did not lead to that point with the company going into bankruptcy and realigning its debt.
You're recognized, Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the answer, Secretary. When the agreement was in place, before they went bankrupt, what is, I guess, the policy on how often that agreement would be reviewed and revised so that when there's changed circumstances like additional rainfall due to climate change, so that these additional changes can be taken into consideration? I'm assuming we have these types of agreements with other companies that are not bankrupt.
Secretary, you're recognized.
Sure. So our code requires inspections and certifications be put in place by a third party and an engineer, annual inspections by that engineer. It requires public notification of any incidents on the site and for that to be publicly noticed and then any repair to be publicly noticed. And so those conditions apply to this site. As well as any other site in Florida.
Thank you. Representative Smith for a follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Secretary. Were there any other types of agreements that the, or any other types of activities, rather, that the DEP agreement would have allowed HRK to continue doing on the site, specifically with the ponds?
You're recognized.
I think I would need to sit down with you and go through the agreement and understand which areas you're looking at. I'm not sure that I fully understand your question.
Representative Smith for one more.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would welcome that opportunity for a follow-up. Yeah. I know members of the committee would as well. Actually, I'll ask my last question, if that's okay, Secretary, specifically around... I guess I'm curious, what are the total annual revenues going into the non-mandatory land reclamation trust fund? Has the state invested any additional money from other sources to reclaim old mines?
Secretary, you're recognized. That might be a tough one, but.
Sure. Again, Representative, I appreciate the question. I would want to get back to you with, we've got trust fund analyses for each of our trust funds, and I'd be happy to get you the latest trust fund analysis for that. Certainly in the past, the state has invested outside funds in Piney Point.
Thank you. Secretary, let me jump in here real quick, but when did we know as a state, when did we know there was a breach, and when did we have our first indication that there could be a breach?
Sure. We were informed on March 26th. Again, the regulations require immediate public notification. We were out on the site on March 26th. March 26th, what was reported was increased water in the drainage system for the site, which could be indicative of a leak. And so that was late Thursday. Then leading through the weekend, we had staff, emergency response staff on site investigating that leakage. Increased. That led to an emergency order to make sure that there were controlled discharges to prevent instability in the pond, which could have resulted in catastrophic release, uncontrolled release of water in areas that would have had significant environmental impact as well as impact on human health and the environment.
Thank you, Secretary. And forgive me, let me be a little more precise with the second part of my question. When did we have information that a breach or a leak was a potential issue?
March 26th was the idea of a leak. The breach didn't come until earlier the next week.
Okay, and to follow up there, to your knowledge, there wasn't a warning through any reports or any signs before March 26th. Is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. We'll next move to Vice Chairman Payne, our resident water expert.
Not quite. Thank you, Chair. Secretary, thank you for your, as you said, gargantuan efforts to make sure this is taken care of. Just a couple of series of questions. One, with regard to evacuations, can you explain a little more about the need for evacuation with regard to the potential for flooding properties, wall collapse as a result, or the difference that the public might have a perception on of a severe contamination event?
You're recognized.
Sure, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Representative, great question. Again, as this event started out, the concern was mainly public health and safety, and that was of simply high volume and velocity of water, right? Flood inundation that could impact human health and safety. The environmental concern was mainly nutrients. So nitrogen and phosphorus, as I mentioned, the prior questions, and again, monitoring those going into the port. But the primary concern that led to evacuations was simply high volumes of flood water. As we stand now, those evacuations have been lifted. The efforts between the county, DEM, DEP, again, I can't thank our engineering staff enough who've been on site from day one, making sure that a plan could quickly be put in place and take over for the management of the site to ensure that water was released in a controlled fashion, targeted to an area where we could have the least environmental impact, and importantly, avoid flood damage to human health and safety. So essentially a catastrophic release of water if there was instability allowed in one of the walls.
Vice Chair Payne for a follow-up.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Secretary. I just want to make sure that point was understood from the point of the public interest as what was about to happen or what could happen or the catastrophic effects of a collapse. Along with that discussion, I want to make sure that a series of questions that we ask, that we know that this particular area of Piney Point has had, I think, at least three different ownerships, abandonment in 2001. It looked like HRK was trying to sell some property to raise some capital to perhaps close the site. And so my questions and my thoughts are, is will they be fully on the hook for this event as well as mandated closing of the facility in the future?
Secretary, you're recognized.
Again, I want to say we have a legal team stood up to take every action possible due to this event. And so that would be held accountable for every outcome that's happened so far as state resources being put in for human health and safety, impacts to the environment, and then management of the site. Yes.
Vice Chair Peng.
Last question. Just in general, Secretary, could you talk about just a quick explanation for the committee as far as the difference in an active site and the standards they go through as far as engineering design, stack operation, and those that are abandoned, and the fact that when they're abandoned, you have all the other environmental influences that can create problems like we've seen. So for some other active sites, there is a huge difference in the daily operation and how they're maintained as opposed to one that's abandoned. And so that's certainly a good question for public interest as well. Thank you.
You're recognized, Secretary.
Thank you. And thank you, Representative, for the question. So again, this is the only closed stack system that's not owned actually by an active company or managed by an active mining company in Florida. It's also important to recognize that this is a very old system, as you mentioned, that has a long history to it. And so the standards that are in place today are not the standards that this system was built under. And so the active systems both are currently processing and creating product, but that active processing then means that there are more options for the water balance within the system. We also have rigorous permitting of that on a regular basis. As I mentioned, the same series of rules requiring annual third-party engineering inspections and inspections by the department. I think, as you mentioned, for this site, again, in the past, I think there had been reluctance to have the state fully close the site when a company goes bankrupt or a company isn't capable of having it and it's switching hands. But then that's put us in a position where it's passed forward to the next private responsible party. That then just even with regulation and oversight leaves the property still there as a risk.
Thank you, Secretary. Representative Driscoll for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Secretary Valenstein, for being here tonight. And I know that you and your staff have been working around the clock on this, so we appreciate it. I wanted to try to get more of a historical perspective and ask, it's my understanding that in 1995, state officials drew up new rules requiring gypsum stack owners to pass an annual financial test. So essentially, if you flunk the test, the state will refuse you permits. Do similar rules still exist?
You're recognized.
Correct. We put in financial assurance requirements for active stacks. The closed stacks had different financial or that financial assurance. I believe this stack was deemed closed prior to some of those new standards coming into place.
Representative Driscoll.
Thank you. And then do we know if all companies across the state that manage these stacks, are they financially well enough to cover the cost of adequate maintenance?
You're recognized.
Right now, we've got about $1.5 billion worth of financial assurance in Florida for our active companies. And so we've got a substantial financial assurance for that based on those increased regulations that you've mentioned over time.
Okay. Thank you.
Certainly, Representative, certainly always worth looking at and certainly analyzing. And I think every part of this, we should always look to see what we can learn from each instance.
Representative Driscoll for a follow-up.
Thank you. And so with those funds, I guess my question is, what is the source of those funds? And then I guess a part two of that is I'm trying to understand, is there any type of tax that these companies pay into, or are they paying into that fund and to pay, in case of a disaster like this, like what we've seen at Piney Point, are they paying and that's how we have the funds to handle this?
Secretary.
Thank you, Chair. Representative, there's a mixture of both severance tax, but also the ability for companies to provide financial assurance through bonds, demonstrating cash on hand, And so happy to go through and provide you and follow up the rules in place, both for severance tax in Florida, but I think probably more likely to address what you're looking at is the various forms of financial assurance. You know, maybe showing here's the level of financial assurance we have currently in Florida for active operations, and then what type of financial assurance that is.
That's exact. Oh, sorry.
Representative Driscoll for one more question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's exactly right, Secretary Valenstein. That's exactly what I was getting at. My final question then is, are you aware of any current or past lawsuits or fines or infractions against HKR Holdings in the way that they operate here in Florida?
You're recognized, Secretary.
So I would like to go back and make sure that I don't miss one and follow up with you. Certainly, there have been required repairs at the site and oversight, but I would like to follow up with you on that.
Thank you.
Thank you. And members, just to give you an idea of what we're trying to do here, I want all of the members to be able to ask any questions they may have, but I also want to leave some room for Representative Rayner. Thank you for joining us, who represents part of the affected area. So, you know, if we could... let's move through the questions as quickly as we can, but as detailed as we can as well. Representative Tribolsi, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Mr. Secretary, for putting safety first. I know that you have been working and your team have been working around the clock, and we certainly do appreciate that and appreciate you being here tonight to answer our pointed questions. Do you know how many gypsum stacks there are in the state of Florida?
You're recognized.
There are about 4 active processing plants in Florida and about 4 active gyp stack systems.
Representative Tribolsi for a follow-up.
Do you know if all of those gypsum stacks are in compliance?
You recognize?
Sorry, Representative, I couldn't hear you.
I'm sorry. Do you know if those gypsum stacks are in compliance?
You're recognized, Secretary.
Thanks, Representative. So we are actively overseeing each of those. As of this day, based on that, we could have an inspection on one of those facilities that's found in action. Certainly, we have some facilities where we have pending actions or pending requirements for those facilities to take. But each of those facilities have multiple permits to them. And so to give you the detailed answer, it would really take following up with each of the permits, whether it's a MPDS permit, mining, elsewise. But certainly across the spectrum, this is a highly regulated area. And so, yes, the department has actions over this past year within this sector.
Thank you, Representative Tribolsi.
Thank you. One more quick question, and this is to Representative Driscoll's point. Do you know if the Piney Point location had bond assurance?
You're recognized.
Again, the company, the responsible party, HRK, went through bankruptcy, restructured its debt. And so as part of that, the department came in as a creditor to that to secure funds to ensure that we're put to the management of the site.
Thank you, Secretary. Representative Clemens for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Secretary, for being here. My question revolves around the liability and the risk management. I think part of my question has been answered, but if you could clarify for me, on a closure or post-closure situation like we have here, the risk management part, is there any requirements for a particular period of time after any facility closes to guarantee to the state and to the taxpayers that that some sort of professional liability coverage for not only breaches in the dike, but for other covered perils like hurricanes and natural disasters if they might damage any of the facilities? Is that in place now for the current holders of these permits? And I know that this particular permit holder was a previous one, and tell me the differences of what the state requires now versus the state required when this particular permit was active.
Secretary.
Thank Thank you, Representative. And so I point you to 62-672.770 of our administrative code to go through our inspection requirements, and within that same area, a number of the other requirements. I think the point for closure is, yes, this is not something that you close and walk away from. So for instance, in this situation, and this is the only legacy site in Florida, the goal has to be to close it. As I mentioned, that means processing and eliminating all the water on site, regrading the site. But then after that, the site still remains lined with monitoring wells around it and a recirculation system to ensure protection of groundwater in the area. And so that requires long-term maintenance by the owner of the property.
Follow-up.
Representative Clemens.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. So learning from this terrible event, has it caused you or the department to rethink what the post-closure requirements would be on an owner to either up the limits of liability or expand the scope of the perils covered in case of some unforeseen circumstance?
You recognize, Secretary?
Thank you. Great question, Representative Clemens. So I would say the first thing is Piney Point has a history, again, as a legacy site, of the state recognizing that it needs to come in and that it's the party with the funds to clean the site up. But again, there's always been sort of a partial cleanup, but not closure by the state. And I say the first lesson is, when you have the opportunity, you need to close the site. And I think this legislature, certainly this department and this administration, has the opportunity to be the one to make that decision to close the site fully and be done with it, as opposed to a partial closure and then possible reinvention of the site with continued risk there. I think that is clearly the most important lesson to learn and make sure that the long history of Piney Point is over. There's not another chapter that's allowed to be written about this site, not another reinvention. But certainly, if you're going to learn one thing, it's that you have to simply close the site and that it's worth the state putting the funds in to complete that closure. Next, I think, yeah, you raised the good point. I personally would want to, after action report, go through, take a toll, you know, take an accounting of every action the state's taken in this, and then compare it to whether or not our current laws and rules adequately capture that. So I'll tell you right now, we're doing more today than we ever had as a state to protect the environment. The fact that we've got an engineering and science team at the agency that this legislature has supported by funding our chief science officer's office means we've been able to stand up engineering, stand up innovative tech within a week. This is something that I don't think any other state could do. Certainly the department wasn't in a place to be able to do before this legislature's support. I think that means we will also be able to look at new costs associated with that, because we're able to take new actions, again, stand up monitoring online so that folks can see, stand up new monitoring networks in a short period of time. All those may come with costs that we then, in an after action report, say, could we cover these costs with the current regulations we have for other sites? But I think we need to go through that math first, right? After this incident, go back, look to see all the actions the state took, and then add that up and say, would our financial mechanisms or financial assurance mechanisms for other sites cover what I think is a new Herculean level of effort that I certainly have not seen in my time.
Thank you, Secretary. And members, just for a little air traffic control here, we have noticed this meeting for 1 hour, so that we could get Secretary Valenstein back to focusing on dealing with the crisis at Piney Point. But we're gonna finish at the 1 hour mark. I wanna make sure, I know that all the members, we have one member left to ask a question, Representative Thompson. We have one representative visiting the committee who wants to ask a question. And then we also have Dr. Hope. So if we could land our questions quickly, then we should be able to finish on time. Representative Thompson, you are recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Secretary, for being here. My question has to do with the environmental impact of the breach, because I understand in 1997, a similar facility that was owned by a different company had a break in a dike, and 55 million gallons of water poured into the Alafaya River, and the spill killed more than a million fish. What was done to rectify that situation?
Secretary, you're recognized.
Sure, and thank you, Mr. Chair. So in this instance, I think it's important to, again, note that, and you can see the southern pond behind me, is a mixture of seawater. So not to harp on this point, but the last reinvention of this site, instead of fully closing it, had a private company partnering as part of a dredge project to then put dredge material and seawater into this compartment. And so this compartment was seawater with some legacy, old legacy process water, and then rainfall and stormwater. And so that's certainly very different than the incident you're talking about. But I think a really good point that you raise, and one of the things I'm so proud about our engineering team and team of scientists who have been pretty much up straight for the last week, is the controlled discharge means we had a science team picking where is the spot that a discharge could go that would have the least impact, not no impact. Of course, the responsible party in this incident has environmental impact. But then it's an, you're talking about is an uncontrolled release, again, to a freshwater body or estuarine water body. And that's actually happened in this site in prior iterations where there have been releases to Bishop Harbor or Cockroach Bay, which have almost near instantaneous impacts and resulted in fish kills too. And so that's why I'm so proud of our staff who's been working around the clock to make sure the decisions are made in a quick basis, safe basis, focused on public safety, but also focused on minimizing impact to the environment. So in this instance, that's what we've learned and been able to do, but that's, we're not through the woods yet, right? That's why we have the monitoring network set up. Certainly these are more nutrients going to the water than we would want to see. And we have to be able to very carefully monitor that to hold HRK accountable for all impacts.
Thank you, Representative Thompson. So I don't want to take up all of Representative Rayner's time, and we still have Dr. Hopes to get to. So one final question, a quick one regarding Piney Point, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you briefly describe what kind of safeguards are in place now, given the incidents that occurred before, to make sure that environmentally we don't have the kind of things that happened before?
Secretary, quickly, if you would, reiterate that, please.
Sure. Again, that's a highly regulated system, so annual certification by a third-party engineer, inspections, regular inspections by the department. I think the most important thing, and one of the things to note here, you know, this legislature approved pollution notification laws that required the public to be able to be engaged in this. Obviously, we've been very committed in this administration to having transparency and making sure we're putting data up on online. But I think that's probably the most important thing about these regulations is when there is any issue at a facility, that it is publicly noticed, and then publicly when there's a repair, that's noticed.
Thank you, Secretary. And at this point—
Sorry, Mr. Chair, just to answer, just to make sure I feel like I give the representative a full answer. I think it, so far, we'll have to learn after action report. I think one of the first things to look at is less the regulation in this instance. Again, this is an old legacy site, but whether or not, for instance, the liner is being used in Florida to check to make sure that they're tested and that current liners meet the standards that the producer of the liner says. So if the liner is designed to have a 50-year lifespan, to make sure we've got the research in Florida to show and have confidence that that's true here in Florida.
Thank you, Secretary. Members are going to move on now to Representative Rayner. And Representative Rayner, just so you understand, because Dr. Hopes has traveled so far to come and see us, I intend to bring him up to speak at 5 till the hour. But Representative Rayner, you are recognized for a question.
And thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you so much for your accommodation. I do have, and Secretary, thank you for all of your hard work. I know that your team is working around the clock because I speak to your Deputy Secretary at least 4 to 5 times a day, so I do appreciate it. I did have a question, and I know that there's been conversation about HRK Holdings being bankrupt, and I think they're in foreclosure as well. How do we practically hold them accountable for what we're experiencing right now?
Secretary, if you'd reiterate that too, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative, for a great question. Again, I mean, it sort of highlights this is a last legacy site that's very different than the other mining sites in Florida. It's a old, abandoned legacy site in Florida, not the same as the other sites in Florida. And so you raise the point of companies that have gone through bankruptcy and sort of the cycle of a new company and a reinvention, state investing some money, but not finishing the work. Whether or not the company on paper has resources, certainly there are avenues in law to track back to any related company that could be legally responsible or any related person to the company that could be legally responsible if we can meet those legal standards. I will leave it at that and just say that we're actively looking at our litigation options.
Representative Rayner, we're at the point where I'm going to bring up Dr. Hopes, but we'll save. And if there's time at the end, you can go back and ask questions. Secretary, thank you very much. I appreciate it greatly. If you don't mind sticking around for another 5 minutes, we'd appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you, Chair. And I'll just mention thank you to Dr. Hopes sitting in your own facility right now. Again, we appreciate your hospitality and your leadership. It has been a tremendous joy working side to side with y'all to see how much progress we've been able to make in a short time on this. So thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. Dr. Hopes, you're recognized.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I'm Dr. Scott Hopes, the acting county administrator for Manatee County. And on behalf of Manatee County government and our board of county commissioners, I thank the chair and this committee, the governor. Without his rapid response in sending the secretary, the director of emergency management, the National Guard to bring in heavy equipment, over 26 pumps, cranes, Chinook helicopters, we would be discussing a very different story. About 3 hours after my appointment, we heard from the third-party engineer from HRK and an HRK representative, and our Board of County Commissioners declared a local state of emergency. That was on Thursday afternoon. We had 480 million gallons in that southern retention pond. And by Friday, the county had been able to deliver an emergency plan. The governor stepped into action, and we then experienced a breach with uncontrolled water leaching out. This is a serious problem. It's not one that this legislature created or oversaw. It's not one the county created, but it's one that we've all inherited. And to put it in perspective, I know we have representatives from across the state. What I became critically aware of within a few hours is the Gulfstream pipeline runs right beside Piney Point. That pipeline exits the ground near Piney Point to be filtered. That pipeline supplies the gas that produces power to 50% of the state of Florida. Had we had an uncontrolled breach, all estimates are that that pipeline would have had to have been shut off, and it would take 2 weeks at minimum to close that pipeline and be able to fuel power for half the state of Florida. So this is just not a Manatee County issue. This is a serious problem. Even with pumping 175 million gallons of water out of that pool, we still have 250 million gallons left in that pond, and we have another 400 million in the remaining two ponds of this industrial waste water. We cannot express the appreciation. This has been a demonstration how within a 24-hour period of time, federal representatives, the Army Corps of Engineers, their dam and levee unit from Jacksonville brought in incredible expertise, and we averted a catastrophe within We were there. We were there. But we've been successful. But we really have to deal with what is on that site. And as the secretary continues to say, this needs to be the last chapter of the Piney Point story. And we are home in Manatee County to a three estuary system. We have aquaculture. We have a thriving marine fisheries industry. We have beautiful beaches. But we now have put 175 million gallons. Now, granted, it was seawater and dredge fill, but there are some other compounds in there. And the irony of it is, when we talk about holding this company accountable, instead of closing it, Manatee County paid them $30 million to take that dredge material and put it in that holding pond, and now basically we and the environment are taking it back for free. And someone needs to be held accountable. But in the meantime, we have to be the parties that solve this problem permanently. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Hopes. I appreciate that. I want to make sure there, if there are any questions for you. And we're going to start with Representative Rayner. We're at 8:01. We're going to finish at 8:05. Representative Rayner for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Dr. Hopes. I don't know if you would be able to have any insight into this, but you indicated just now that you that the county paid $30 million. And do you know, if anything, that if HRK Holdings, if they have any insurance, if they have anything that could possibly, you know, make the county whole?
Dr. Hopes?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative. It's unlikely a company like this has not structured themselves in a way that with Chapter 11, Chapter 7, that's going to be very difficult.
Representative Rayner for one follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Dr. Hopes, I just wanted to know, with HRK, how responsive have they been to you? How transparent have they been with the county when it comes to Piney Point? I think that's a really big issue as well, that the transparency that they may or may not have had with the county with regard to what actually has been happening at Piney Point.
Dr. Hopes, you're recognized.
I will tell you that we had our staff on site the week before, but it really wasn't until that Thursday afternoon at 1:30 that their third-party engineer and their one of very few representatives on the ground came to the Board of County Commissioners, and I saw the fear in their eyes. And when they finished their presentation, I went upstairs, I met with our staff, and got reports from our staff that had been on site that this was at a critical stage. And we called it right. It was less than 24 hours, and there was a full breach. And so that was hours before a full breach, which could have resulted in a catastrophic total breach. So while I had only been county administrator for 3 hours, but I had been on the school board for nearly five years, with regards to forthcoming information of the magnitude and the seriousness, I would not call that transparent, but that's just my perspective and my personal opinion.
Representative Jenny for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I will be very quick. First of all, thank you so much for the work that you're doing. You know, obviously, I'm from a different part of the state altogether, but
I know your father well.
Well, there we go. Hey, there's a connection there. One of the great things about being in the legislature for an extended period of time, I've managed to make some friends all over. And one of the things you just brought up were the other ponds and some of the nastiness that are in those other ponds. I had somebody call me from the area that I've known for a long time, who's well placed. And this individual told me that there is the possibility that some of this water in those other ponds may, in fact, be radioactive.
Dr. Hope, you're recognized.
You're probably referring to what is commonly called radium-226. I will tell you that the initial measurements do not indicate that in the pond, which is currently has been breached and we're discharging. I will tell you that the state, under the governor's direction, has sent the Department of Health team down that comes and investigates and measures radioactive particulate and materials, and they have collected samples. They will continue to collect samples. It usually takes anywhere from 14 to 20 days to get a full report back, but we should be getting field reports pretty soon. Fortunately, the two ponds that have the least desirable materials for the environment, they are currently secured. But we don't know how long that will last.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. And Dr. Hopes, please accept on behalf of the committee our gratitude for you traveling all the way up here and helping to keep us informed. We appreciate everything that you have done as a county and you all did to respond to this. And Secretary Valenstein, if you're still listening, thank you all very much for your prompt and immediate response. And as this situation continues to develop, we look forward to getting continued updates.
Thank you. We look forward to continuing to work with you for a final solution.
Thank you.
And thank you, committee.
Members, with that, Vice Chair Payne says we should all leave. So unless there's an objection, we are adjourned.